For Americans and Wisconsinites living below the poverty line, there are a number of federal and state proposals in the mix that could significantly impact their status and their ability to improve it.
Tim Smeeting is the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the UW-Madison La Follette School of Public Affairs. He's also the co-author of a new report on poverty in Wisconsin, and that report came out this week from the UW Institute for Research on Poverty. Tim, thanks for joining us again on Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me.
So let's start big and then go small. Let's look at the federal level and what's currently happening within the Trump administration. What is happening currently, I guess, that it's looking to redefine poverty?
Well, the Trump administration has decided, I think, that they're going to get rid of all needs-based programs. And there are a lot of ways of doing that. One is to put a lot of administrative burdens on people who apply. Another one is to define poverty away. And there are a number of areas in which they're working at this, food programs, health insurance programs, abortion, even voting is heavily driven, and certainly immigration policy and treatment, particularly of children born in this country who come from parents who weren't born in this country. That's 20% of the poor, according to a recent National Academy of Sciences report that my colleagues and I turned out.
When you talk about administrative burdens being placed on these people, can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. The rules and regulations and access to programs. A good example was cutting people off of Medicaid in Arkansas because they didn't report what they needed to report on time, or they didn't meet work requirements. The New England Journal of Medicine last week published a thorough report which showed that it reduced work. It didn't increase work. It actually reduced work. So it's the opposite of what they wanted. And a lot of people got a lot sicker because they didn't have access to health care. So workfare programs like that, and one that we're going to be doing in our state in the fall for families with the youngest children of school age for SNAP. Those programs aren't going to work. Our National Academy of Sciences report said that they didn't work. Just forcing people to go to work isn't going to help. You need to help people so they want to go to work. You need work supports and income supports.
And these work requirements have been put in place in various states. We know that they've been put in place here. They've been placed not necessarily at the federal level, but it seems like work requirements, that might be a more blanket thing that comes down the pipe from this administration. What, I guess, broadly would that do if we're seeing it not work on a state level?
Well, it would spread the effects to other states and other people. Certainly it failed in the Farm Bill, but we had already implemented what was in the Farm Bill. If the Farm Bill had passed, we'd have gotten some money to help implement the workfare that we put in, and we would have been a little bit better off. But in the rest of the country, they wouldn't have been. There's this idea that anything that aims to feed people or house people or give them health care is somehow welfare, and therefore they shouldn't have access to it, even if the law says that they should. And so there's all sorts of attempts to make it more difficult to get the programs or to define the need itself away.
You know, part of what the conversation about poverty typically entails is both public opinion and opinion that comes from the government, whether it's the state government or the federal government. It seems as though it's not always at odds between the public and an administration. I'm not saying that, you know, there's broad support for these measures, but there are plenty of people that say, I go to work, I have a job, and I get X, Y, Z. How do we have a conversation that talks about poverty and how it impacts everyone, not just families living in it?
That's a great question. We need to talk about how we're leaving people behind in this state. We're leaving a number of people behind and nationally, about how, suppose that you want people to work in the market, and I want them. I think the long-term solution for most people is a good job that pays enough. But that means you have to invest in health and healthcare so they're healthy. You have to invest in their education so that they're more capable of working. When you have a single parent, they need work supports. There are a number of things. Let me give you an example of three things that didn't happen yesterday, which you're going to talk about in your next half hour, which should. Number one, Everyone loves the earned income tax credit, at least conservatives and liberals that I know. And there's a lot of pressure to increase it at the federal level to include single people. We threw the state, the Evers proposal for an increased state earned income tax credit out. 30 many states now, 34, 35, have raised the minimum wage above 7.25. We haven't. We didn't consider that. I'm not talking about $15. That wouldn't be good. But 10 or 10.50, there is an incentive to go out and work. And the third thing, of course, is Medicaid expansion, which 37 other states have already taken advantage of, which only makes sense in terms of helping people get back to work by controlling their opioids. It helps expand benefits to the elderly who we show their high health care costs are pushing them into poverty. It would help broaden services for families and children. Those are three things that would help people do more work, do the right thing, and therefore escape poverty. And we didn't do any of them this past week.
We're talking to Tim Smeeting right now. He is the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the UW-Madison La Follette School of Public Affairs. And we're talking about poverty. We're taking a pretty broad look. And Tim, you were the co-author of a study, if we're going to take a look at Wisconsin, that found that poverty more or less has remained stagnant in the state. It's at around 10 or 11%. It's not getting bigger, but it's not getting smaller. Is that a surprise for you as someone who studies this?
It is something of a surprise, and it's related to some of the things we said before. So as we found in the National Academy report, and when you look at Wisconsin, you know, work alone is not enough. But here we are in the data 8.5 years, and next week 10 years into a recovery. Everyone talks about 2.9% unemployment rate. People are working more. They're working more hours. But the actual rate of pay in a number of low-wage occupations, caregiving, janitors, retail sales, food preparation, is lower in real terms now than it was in 2002. So what you find is work alone is not enough to get out of poverty. So even though people are working more, and then the safety net is cutting back at the same time. And we need that. You need some income supports and you need work supports. Child care is a perfect example. You're going to need child care if you want single mothers to work. Everyone understands this. How exactly we go about doing it, we don't know. But if you're going to say you have to work 30 hours a week or you lose your SNAP benefits, and, well, I need before and after school care. I need summer care. I'm going to need maybe some transportation help. At 7.25 an hour, it doesn't make sense for me to go to work. So there are all sorts of things that would support income and support work. And the combination together is what helps reduce poverty, to make a dent.
And where exactly are we seeing this concentration of poverty in the state?
Oh, in the state, it's this year there was a spot that popped up in Eau Claire and Chippewa and bounced up a little bit. Everyone has asked me why. I don't know why.
It's one of those things that seems
But Milwaukee is there, and it's always there. And partly it has to do with race. Partly it has to do with formerly incarcerated. It's to do with violence. It's if our major city, if we can't do anything in our major city, we're not going to get far. We need to help people get engaged in the job market. We need employers to go out and give opportunities to people the way the Just Bakery does here in Madison, for instance. We need to improve the schools for kids. There's all sorts of things that we need to do if we're going to fight poverty, particularly child poverty. And we have to do something about Milwaukee as a state.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the federal poverty level is something like $25,000 for a family of four. I'm give or take maybe a couple hundred dollars. But do we need to rethink how we define poverty, because it will probably broaden who's in that zone if we actually take that into account? The cost of living is quite high.
Of course. That poverty line was something that was invented in 1960 and has only been priced up since. It was almost half of the median family's income when it was introduced. Now it's below 30%. And if what the administration is trying to do is to take a deflator, a really fast deflator, which says that that's worth, you know, that you can really buy a lot with $25,000 and reduce it even further, the actual poverty line. All of that is just going to make the problem worse. This is why if you come to our state or other states, the guidelines that allow you access to programs like, let's say, child care, 185% of the poverty line. Medicaid for kids, 185%. 130% for SNAP. People realize that the poverty line is just too low. If we use the supplemental poverty line, that's $2,000 or $3,000 higher. That's a little better. That's based exactly on, like the Wisconsin Poverty Report, on what people spend, low-income people spend. That's a better measure than what we have.
This feels like such a complicated and widespread issue. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. But, Tim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Jay.
That's Tim Smeeting. He's the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison. We talked to him about the state of poverty in Wisconsin and how federal and state proposals could affect people living on low incomes statewide. And we'll continue this conversation as more news comes out.